Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin our society article on page 44. And in the studio with me today, first, I would like to introduce Hazel. Welcome, Hazel.
Hi, everybody. It's good to be here.
And what is the title of today's article, Hazel?
Street Art Finds New Purpose.
All right. Well, that sounds interesting. Street art, and then it's finding a new purpose. Sounds like we have a lot to learn. Also in the studio with us today is Zach. Welcome, Zach.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
And what does our deck say, Zach?
All right. So we're going to be reading about in the era of Instagram, businesses use street art to attract customers.
Okay, so what is street art?
Street art is kind of coming from a tradition where people would use graffiti or any kind of paint, like maybe spray paint, and yeah, do different designs on buildings.
Okay, and maybe in some cities you see this, you think of graffiti first of all, you think, well, that's not very beautiful. So I guess there's a difference, Hazel, between graffiti and street art.
Sometimes there is. Some graffiti can really look nice and be attractive, but often it's a nuisance.
Right.
Because the spray paint where you don't want it. Mm-hmm. And street art, I feel the same way. Some is really very beautiful and nice or clever, and some I just really don't like. So I guess it depends on what you like, what kind of art you like.
Right. Yeah, some graffiti is just someone vandalizing property,
yes,
whereas this is art. It's
right.
Supposed to look beautiful. So street art is finding a new purpose, and we are talking about social media, Instagram. Hazel, Zach, do you use Instagram, Hazel?
I don't use Instagram. I'm still stuck on Facebook.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's similar in some ways, but still quite different. Instagram is quite different. Do you use Instagram?
I do use Instagram. I really like it. I think it's a little more concise. You just share quick photos, quick descriptions, and you can mark it with a hashtag. That adds a social feature to sharing photos.
I think if you're really into taking nice photos, you know, Instagram is good, and people use it for all different kinds of things, but that's one thing that I like about it. You can see some beautiful shots that people take. Well, we are on page 44, so if you have your magazine or your digital device, please follow along as we have our first reading for today.
Street art finds new purpose. In the era of Instagram, businesses use street art to attract customers. Inside the shops along Melrose Avenue in Los Angeles, there's plenty to appeal to fashionable young customers such as Melissa Wong. But it was outside the Paul Smith store where the 25-year-old found what she was looking for. Did you even visit L.A. if you didn't stop to take a photo in front of the pink wall? Said Wong as she snapped a photo of her friend. From morning until night, a steady stream of visitors from across the city and around the world pose in front of the clothing store's Pepto-Bismol hued wall. The crowds are so intense that the store hired a security guard to keep things under control.
Okay, we are talking about street art finding new purpose. And what city are we in, Zach?
Yes, so we are in Los Angeles, L.A., on Melrose Avenue, which is a very popular destination in L.A. for shopping or even kind of dining out or entertainment. And it's kind of located in between Santa Monica and Silver Lake, and it runs right through West Hollywood.
Okay, well, there's plenty of appeal there for people who are into fashion. And we have an example here, a fashionable young customer, and her name is Melissa Wong. Just explain to us briefly, what does it mean to be fashionable, Hazel?
Well, it means to be in style, to know what's the latest style and to be wearing it, to look cool perhaps, or it depends on the people you're trying to impress, I guess.
Sounds like a cool, hip place to be if you're into fashion. And then we learn about this store called Paul Smith, the Paul Smith store. And what do we learn about that?
Well, the Paul Smith store, it's kind of like a, you know, like if you are fashionable and you want to keep up with the trends, this is a designer clothing store there on Melrose Avenue. And here, it seems like there is this famous wall outside of it, which is attracting customers.
And we have a photo of that wall there at the top of page 44. And what color is that, Hazel?
Well, it's pink.
Yes, it is pink. And we see here, did you even visit L.A. if you didn't stop to take a photo in front of the pink wall? And so we see that this is attracting people. Many people, Zach, are coming here to take a photo. And the hopes is, I'm sure the store, they want people to come inside.
Exactly. So this kind of gets at the title, Street Art Finds New Purpose. And here we see that this, the idea is that these, the artwork that's being displayed outside of stores or restaurants are attracting, hopefully attracting customers. And it seems like it is. It's a very popular place in a hope to kind of work together and form a partnership.
And so that sentence that Melissa Wong is saying, did you even visit L.A.? It's sounding like if you didn't take a picture or if you didn't see the pink wall, why even bother going to L.A.?
Yeah.
That's how important it is.
It's the thing to do,
right?
And I didn't know this until I read this article. So
I didn't either. In fact, I guess I've never been to L.A., even though I've been there a few times.
Yeah, there we go. All right, from morning until night, a steady stream of visitors from across the city and actually around the world, they go in front of this Pepto-Bismol-hued wall to take a photo. Now, many of you listeners may not be familiar with Pepto-Bismol. Zach, what exactly is that?
All right, so Pepto-Bismol is kind of it's a very unique pink color medicine that I remember when I was growing up, we would use this if, you know, our stomachs hurt or, you know, we felt sick, we would take this. But it was always very distinctly obvious where it was on the shelf. It stood out by its Pepto-Bismol hue pink.
Right. And so people are very familiar with this medication. So when you say that and you say that's the color of something, that image immediately comes into your mind because it is distinct and because it is so well known.
In fact, this is the first time I've seen it as an adjective, but our family used to call things, oh, that's Pepto-Bismol pink. Mm. Oh, you know. So it's a certain kind of medicine. Like you said, Zach, you notice it right away because of the color. And also the bottle is an unusual shape, kind of a rounded triangle shape. So it's very easy to see, and you kind of hesitate to take it when you're sick because sometimes you feel even sicker. But but anyway, it's a good medication, and the people in the States know it very well.
All right. Well, many people are coming out to take photos here in front of this wall. How many exactly?
Well, we're not sure exactly. The article isn't clear on how many exactly, but it says that the crowds were so intense, the store had to hire a security guard just to keep things under control.
Right. So many people are coming out, and I'm thinking, how can you just have this wall, Hazel, this pink wall, and it draws that many people?
That's a good question. Maybe we should paint one outside the office.
Yes. That's a good idea, actually.
I guess so that it's so famous that people want everyone to know. They want all their friends to know that they've been there. They've been to L.A. They've seen the pink wall.
Right. But to know that that would become popular, to just, oh, let's have a pink wall, and this is going to become really something that catches on. You never know, I guess. Sometimes the simple things are what works, is what works the best, right?
I could imagine part of it has to do with the store itself, you know, where they are, the fact that it's this Paul Smith store. It seems pretty well known, but maybe part of the lure or part of the reason that people are coming back is just it is this trending thing, and it's, you can say you've done this too, and
Yeah, and so you never know what is going to catch on, but this has caught on, and many are coming out to snap photos. And again, we want to tie in the business point here that the businesses, they want people to come in to buy things, which we will talk about more later. And right now, though, we are going to jump into our next reading for today to learn more about this subject, so please follow along.
Street art is ingrained into Los Angeles's DNA. The city's sprawling concrete backdrop has long served as a massive easel for artists. But in the age of social media, street art is finding a new role, providing the perfect backdrop for Instagram-worthy shots and the perfect lure for retailers seeking to attract a certain selfie-taking demographic. With millennials willing to go out of their way to find a piece of Instagram gold, businesses are eyeing the artwork as a tactic to draw people outside and then, hopefully, inside their stores. No longer relegated to alleyways, street art now coats the facades of restaurants and retail boutiques.
Well, street art is actually ingrained into Los Angeles's DNA. That's a funny way of putting it. That's a good word there. Zach, what does it mean if something is ingrained?
So the idea with ingrained is, yeah, if you look down below it, it describes this word as firmly held, not likely to change. And so the idea of street art has always been around L.A., that it's kind of been there from the beginning, and it's unlikely to change.
Right, and many times a belief can be ingrained into us. And so this is just a part of the city, basically. And when we use the word DNA, it's just a part of who Los Angeles is. And so the city's sprawling concrete backdrop. Often we use that word with L.A., that is a sprawling city, Hazel.
Right. It's a very popular place, and as it grows, it expands outward. It's sprawling in different directions. And there's a lot of concrete there. The buildings are concrete, and that's a good backdrop to paint on. Even if you're not supposed to, people do it. Street artists might paint on these concrete walls.
They describe those walls as a massive easel for artists. Now, an easel is something that holds a painting. So the artist is working on something, and they have it there on the easel. And so they're being descriptive here in using some art terminology.
That's right. So for an artist, this is kind of an alluring description, right? Oh, wow, the city is my easel. But that probably is a double-edged sword. You have to kind of get permission, go about it the right way.
Right.
And, yeah, try and strike up this kind of unconventional advertising.
And I believe in some cities they have certain areas where they allow people to have this street art, and that can be a nice thing depending on your opinion of it. But at least it's all in one area, and you don't just go wherever you want and paint whatever you want, right?
Yeah, there used to be a place down by the riverside where people would do street art
you know,
on the walls of the river.
Here in Taipei, right?
I think it was legal, but it is a nice variety, and some was very nice artwork.
Right. Well, we are, of course, in the age of social media, and street art is finding a new role. In fact, the title of our article is Street Art Finds New Purpose, and so it is finding a new role. What is that, Zach?
Right, so it's providing that perfect backdrop for Instagrammers and people who want to find that perfect picture where people can kind of take a selfie in front of the store and get the, and then that business will get their name out there through Instagram and through that social media platform.
Right, businesses are trying to lure people in, and so they can sell more stuff, basically. And so it's a simple way of getting people to come in. They're tying into the culture. People love to take selfies. Many people do. And so I'm sure this is that people are making a profit off of this, Hazel.
It's interesting that it says there's a certain selfie-taking demographic. So advertisers maybe study the demographic, what people like, what they don't like, certain ages. And now selfie-takers, that's a demographic now. People who want their picture taken, people who want to spread the word where they've been.
I think that's a large demographic. Of course, demographic referring to a segment of society, and I think a large segment of society, they would call themselves selfie takers. And so this could be appealing to many. And then we go and we talk about millennials. We often talk about millennials these days, and what do we learn here about them, Zach?
Well, here we see that millennials are willing to kind of go out of their way and go seek out these opportunities to take a selfie or to take a photo and to make that Instagram post, and kind of in turn, they will advertise for the business.
Right, and they describe it as finding a piece of Instagram gold, meaning that it's a great shot. That's one that, you know, everybody wants to have. And of course, so many people are going to this pink wall in LA there at the Paul Smith store. That would be considered a piece of Instagram gold. And businesses are eyeing the artwork. What does it mean if you're eyeing something, Hazel?
Well, often you want to find something similar for yourself, or you're thinking, how can this work for me? Or you just enjoy it. So they're eyeing that artwork, but they're trying to find a way to use it to draw people outside of their stores and then inside of their stores, hopefully. Hmm. So they're just looking at that tactic, that way, yeah, that trick, or that method,
yeah, it's a,
that would work.
A business tactic here, or method, and they're hoping to draw people who are outside into their stores so they will make a profit. And then we see that this artwork is no longer relegated to alleyways.
Right. So it's not being kind of pushed aside or pushed back into an alleyway where it's not seen. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But instead, now it's kind of front and center on the buildings themselves.
It actually coats the facades of restaurants. That's a good word to know.
Mm-hmm.
What is a facade?
A facade is the front part of a building or something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we use the word facade meaning that the whole building is not made out of that material. So perhaps you have a building and the facade looks like it's solid brick, but actually it's not. So we could say it's just a facade.
Mm.
The building is actually concrete, but one side has a kind of a fake look to it. But anyway, that probably here means just the front of the building, what it looks like when you approach the building.
Right, and so it's come out of the shadows, so to speak. It's come out of those alleyways, and now it's there on the front of buildings. And so, again, this is a new purpose for this art, and businesses are hoping to make a profit from it. Speaking of the businesses, we're going to learn more about that in our last reading for today.
Art meets business. For businesses, writing a check to a respected artist can be a substantial expenditure. Rather than pay out, some businesses are finding alternative ways to woo the Instagram scene. 4 years ago, the furniture company Cisco Home tapped its in-house marketing team, Small Green Door, to draw a mural that said, "Made in LA." Hailing it as LA's latest Instagram-ready landmark, Cisco offered discounts to anyone who snapped a photo with the mural and posted it to Facebook using the hashtag #MadeInLAByCisco.
Okay, so art meets business. For businesses, writing a check to a respected artist can be a big expenditure. What is an expenditure, Hazel?
Money that you pay. And so it can be substantial, which means quite a bit of money. An expensive expenditure.
Yeah, why do that? Just paint the wall outside of your building?
And, you would think so.
Right?
But they want to be sure it's just the right message or just the right design.
Yeah. So businesses are looking for alternative ways to woo the Instagram scene. I like the way they put that, Zach. What does it mean to woo someone?
Yeah, I think of the word like attract, to get their attention, and then to lure them in and to make sure they're coming.
That's right. So they want people to come and take selfies in front of their building. But as Hazel, as you mentioned, they want to make sure it sends the right message, that it works. Because, you know, this is maybe unique, but as more people do it, it won't be so unique, and so it may only work for a limited time, or you may have to get even more creative, right?
Right. So in that first paragraph, it talks about writing a check to a respected artist, an artist that somebody might already know, that people want their picture taken with their art, or someone that just does a good job that you know will attract others. But here it talks about, in the second paragraph, a furniture company, Cisco Home, and they decided to have people in-house, in their marketing team, do the graffiti, do the artwork for them.
So it says that Cisco Home tapped its in-house marketing team. If you tap someone in this sense, you choose them. Of course, you can tap someone on the shoulder. But in this sense, they mean they are choosing them to do something.
You'll also frequently hear this word in politics, when a politician or someone will tap someone in lower rank to kind of, hey, come and join me as a vice president or whatever the case may be.
They're appointing them to a specific role.
Yep.
And that's what this company is doing here. And then, as Hazel mentioned, we have the word there, in-house, meaning within the company. They're not going outside the company to pay someone to do this. That would be much more expensive, I'm sure. And so they just have someone there within the company to do this. And We see here that this in-house marketing team is called Small Green Door, okay? And they went out to draw a mural that said Made in L.A. We see a photo of that there just above the paragraph on page 44. And, Zach, what is a mural?
A mural is just a large picture, a painting on a wall, room, or building. And in this case, it's a building, and the mural is Made in L.A., which is kind of a catchy, it's a simple but catchy phrase, message for, I guess, a furniture company, right? This furniture you're sitting on, it's Made in L.A. And so, yeah, if you've come, this is something to take home with you.
And I think this is a trend. I've seen this in different cities in the United States. They'll have, maybe not necessarily outside of a business, so in that respect, in that regard, it's different, but it will say, for example, I'm from near the city of Memphis. They have something painted on the side of a big dumpster or something that they've turned into this artsy thing that says, I love Memphis. And so people will come and take a photo there. Same idea, but in this sense, the businesses are doing it in hopes to make money, of course. So this company, it's called Cisco Home. We've also learned about Paul Smith's store there. So many businesses are doing this. And then we learned that hailing it as LA's latest Instagram-ready landmark, Cisco offered discounts to people. That term, hailing.
They're saying that it's something. They're giving credit to it. They're saying that it's a landmark and it's ready for you to come and take pictures. And then they had another thing that they offer. They offer discounts to anyone who snaps a photo with the mural and they post it to Facebook using their hashtag. So that's a great idea because then other people see it on Facebook and then they think it's a popular place. Maybe when they go to L.A., they'll do the same.
So basically, this is just a huge marketing ploy. They're calling it an Instagram-ready landmark, and they have a hashtag for it, and they give people discounts, and I think that's a big draw as well. And so they hope that people will come and take a photo in front of it and use the hashtag, and then, you know, of course, you come into the store, and you can get a discount for doing so.
So I think we're getting a good look. This is a society feature, and we're getting a good look at new marketing kind of in this society. Mm-hmm. More and more, you know, it's going to social media. You're using Instagram. Facebook is mentioned through hashtags and different locations and a way for companies to get their name out there. Mm-hmm. And just kind of a different, kind of an unconventional approach as opposed to, you know, having commercials or billboards or, it's kind of getting a new look.
Right, and it shows how businesses are staying in touch with society, which is very important, especially when we're talking about millennials and those who are younger. Well, we also have a moral dilemma. Did you think of a moral dilemma when you read this article? Well, there is one. Hazel, could you read that sidebar there at the bottom of page 44?
I'll try. There's an irony in partnerships between street artists and businesses. As an offshoot of graffiti, a countercultural art scene long the bane of property owners, street art and retail businesses would seem to be natural enemies. It has left some artists facing a moral dilemma. Stay true to the guerrilla traditions of their art form or forge partnerships that can exponentially increase the amount of eyes on their work and dollars in their pocket.
All right, so there is a dilemma here. There's a decision that artists need to make. Will they continue to follow the traditional path of doing graffiti, or will they join up with businesses and form these partnerships where they can possibly make more money? I think the key point here is, you know, will they stay true to who they are, or will they do something that they feel is against who they, how they view themselves?
Well, that seems to be the moral dilemma, but I think it's also an interesting opportunity for street art to kind of evolve. Mm. That it started as, you know, graffitiing on trains, like in New York City, or on walls in Los Angeles. But now they're kind of evolving, and they're finding opportunities. Obviously, you can kind of tell which way I lean. But, yeah, to kind of evolve and to continue to be artists, but being paid, make a living for themselves,
right,
as well as work with businesses as opposed to upsetting shopkeepers.
Right. Well, it's not a dilemma that many of us maybe are facing, but if you are into graffiti or street art, maybe this is something that you have to decide, of course. In the meanwhile, businesses are hoping to bring in the dough, right? Make more money. And we'll see if that is beneficial as time goes by. Well, we thank you for joining us for our society article today. It's the end of April. We hope that you have had a good month, and we hope you will join us again next month here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon,
Hazel,
and Zach
saying goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.